scump prasa.
That's our intro.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Piscope Brasa. This is the show where two Brasa talk movie news, reviews, shorts, and some cock in between. My name is Ross.
I'm Jody.
Yo, I had to check it. It was recording. I immediately forgot that I pressed record. Yo, is I'm Varam, Jody?
Yes. So. Yes. One of us is topless.
Yeah.
We won't say which
you can
one.
Speculate.
On which both one. Of us are Calfoot.
But it's nothing they haven't seen. If you follow us on Instagram, it's nothing you haven't seen.
Proven to be very popular, our topless.
Yeah. So be sure to follow us on Instagram because that's where the juice is. Mm.
The juice.
The NSFW content. But yeah, yo, December sparkle is fading real fast.
Oh, yeah. We've got the lack of luster back to work vibes going on.
The joy crushing reality of back to work. I love it
so much.
Yeah, my spirit being crushed is like one of my favorite things on the planet.
Yeah, it's a national pastime.
No, I must be honest, I'm grateful to have a job. But yeah, it's taken me a long time to get back. My wheels are slow to turn, my friend.
But it's because if you work from home, like holiday doesn't feel like holiday.
No, and the problem is that my wife, Abby, is fun employed at the moment. So she's just
walking around in a trunkies all day. It's just beach photos. And yo, Abby's Instagram is like one ball of like,
I wear. You could swear she's looking for a blesser or something the way she's getting on.
I need to get her some money.
Oh, so it's for us.
Oh, well, as you were then.
Carry on.
But yeah, I guess on that note, in this heat, let's get into the news.
Our wear, news and shorts.
Thank you, Will Smith.
Hitting us with that Wild Wild West theme song.
That's a cool,
by far
that's a cool blessing.
The only good thing to come out of that movie.
The only good thing. The only good thing. Will Smith does that.
That is such a bad
also,
movie.
Also, underrated song is the sequel to Men in Black.
Yes, I love that
the
one.
Black
more.
Suit's coming.
Nod your head.
The Black Suit's coming.
I love that one much more than the first one.
That shit slaps. Anyway, we'll probably have an episode about shit like that. But The Roots, The Rock, and the Vin Diesel.
We actually have been meaning to talk about this for a while.
We have. I saw it in a while ago, and I was like, Jody, we keep forgetting to put this in the news.
But it's good that we did it because
there was a response.
The saga just keeps bolting.
I love it. Previously on
previously on Faga.
Previously on Faga, The Rock decided he's not going to be in any more official Fast and Furious movies, but the Hobbs and Calvin and Hobbs movies, the Hobbs and Shaw movie.
Yeah, Calvin and Hobbs.
The Hobbs and Shaw movies, that's like his vibe. That's where he's going. But he refuses to be in a movie with Vin Diesel.
Yes. He's donezo.
Yeah.
He wishes them well.
He does wish them out. And Vin Diesel seemed like he was cool with it up until
he started
a couple weeks ago.
Started doing some random shit, man. Some Vin Diesel shit.
So Vin Diesel is, I told you, go check his Facebook, man. Yeah.
Singing, he's lip syncing to Taylor Swift. He's releasing his own songs.
I love dancing.
It's a wonderful place.
He actually said on an Instagram post, this is verbatim, okay?
Love it.
My little brother.
Just that intro alone.
Fresh out the gate. He's like condescending. Just boom, out the gate. My little brother Dwayne. The time I assume that he's older than The Rock.
I would damn well hope so.
I hope so. My little
brother. I'll give it a Google while you read.
My little brother Dwayne. The time has come. The world awaits the finale of Fast 10. As you know, my children refer to you as Uncle Dwayne in my house. There's not a holiday that goes by that they don't send well wishes, but the time has come. Legacy awaits. I told you years ago that I was going to fulfill my promise to Pablo. Pablo is apparently Paul Walker's nickname.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know he had Mexican heritage, to be honest.
It's the blue eyes.
Or Colombian, yeah.
No, it's the blonde blue eyes.
I swore that we would reach and manifest the best fast in the finale. The best fast in the finale? Did you type that? Yeah, oh, that in sounds, the finale, that's
that
10.
Sounds like
the maybe movie. Finish the sentence, Ross. I say this out of love, but you must show up. Do not leave the franchise idle. You have a very important role to play. Hobbs can't be played by no other. I hope that you rise to the occasion and fulfill your destiny. That's like a double negative.
Destiny, bro.
Yeah, fulfill your destiny. Uh-huh. Crazy.
Yeah. Okay, so Vin Diesel's 54 and Dwayne is 49.
Mm, that's right. So
that's little brother. That's a little brother age.
Yeah.
If I ever heard one.
So at the time of the story, The Rock didn't respond.
No.
But I don't, you're going to take us through his response.
No, I don't have it up here. You can give us.
Oh, okay. He doesn't have it. Unprofessional.
I provide the links.
Okay, so The Rock said.
We did mention a previous response by The Rock when he was being interviewed with Gal Gadot. And he just laughed at Vin Diesel's previous post about this, which wasn't as direct.
Yeah.
But, you know, where he spoke about The Rock needing to be pushed and he was giving him that edge.
Yeah.
So it was mentioned previously, but he did give a response to this specifically also.
He did, but he was very surprised.
Yes.
So he said, this past June, when Vin and I actually connected, not over social media, I told him directly, and privately, that I would not be returning to the franchise. I was firm yet cordial with my words and said that I would always be supportive of the cast and always root for the franchise to be successful, but that there was no chance I would return. I privately, again, spoke with my partners at Universal as well, all of whom were very supportive as they understand the problem. He then added, Vince's recent public post was an example of his manipulation. I didn't like that. He brought up his children in the post, as well as Paul Walker's death. Leave them out of it. We had spoken months ago about this and came to a clear understanding. My goal all along was to end my amazing journey with this incredible Fast and Furious franchise with gratitude and grace. It's unfortunate that this public dialogue has muddled the waters. Regardless, I'm confident that in the Fast universe and its ability to consistently deliver for the audience, and I truly wish my former co-stars and crew members the best of luck and success in the next chapter. Very professional, but
very
also
eloquent.
Taking shots at the same time.
Very eloquent response there by Dwayne. Strong little brother energy coming through there, though. You know? I spoke to mom, and mom said I don't have to do
it. No, but I love the fact that he's like privately. You mentioned like privately, yeah. Like three fucking
okay,
hours.
Look, it's our emphasis, but you,
come on,
you can
you
read
know,
it to there.
So by the sounds of things, he's not coming back.
If I had to guess.
If you were a betting man.
If I was a betting man. I think I'd say it's a no. I don't think that Dwayne has any pluck to go and deal with Vin Diesel again.
No, because this is just another tactic. He said it himself. It's another thing of like, yo, now put it out in the public. People want to see it.
With kids, with Pablo, you know, Paul Walker's Mexican heritage we didn't know.
Yeah, we had no idea. This is like new shit.
But it's, I mean, that honestly, it puts The Rock in a position where if he now says no, he's the baddie.
I don't think so.
He's the baddie. That's what Vin Diesel was hoping for.
No, definitely. But I mean, I think he underestimates the power of The Rock.
Because look at that statement.
Exactly.
That was like, we've spoken about this.
He's a consummate professional.
Yeah.
Vin Diesel's coming with this backhanded, back alley bullshit. You know, this isn't fucking Pablo La Cuera, where you come from.
It's not Fast and Furious.
Yeah. Oh, where he's always in some fucking South American country, Fast and Furious. This isn't that place, all right?
In a vest.
There's loads, yeah. Yo, I saw a recent picture of him. Shame he's got a. I don't want to body shame, but like that, he's got a lot of work to do before the next one.
Nah, yeah. Fix it in post. That's in his contract.
The girdle. But we'll see.
I would put it at like a 2% chance that Dwayne comes back with us. Look, the only thing that would maybe push him in is money. If they
that's gonna
make
take
him
a lot, though.
An offer that is literally like the best ever. Which, by all, I mean, there's a chance they could, right? This is a $1 billion franchise now. And they might decide, you know what? And the one thing Vin Diesel says that's true is that finishing the franchise without Hobbs, because Hobbs was integral to the, you know, the shift.
To the pivot.
The pivot in this franchise.
Yeah. No, there are ways and means, but I feel like they've now planned stories, and those stories include Hobbs.
Yeah.
So they're going to throw money at him.
Mm. Or they're going to throw John Cena at him. Fight at WrestleMania. Yeah, if you lose, you're not in the franchise.
Do you think that was all, like, John Cena was literally brought in to replace him?
Yeah. They said as much. Mm. I mean, they basically said that.
I don't know if it's going to work, but I do love John Cena. You should watch Peacemaker. Yeah.
Yes. And I mean, we've said John Cena's comedic timing and things is actually so much better than people give him credit for. Comparatively, if you look at where he is now in his acting career and where Dwayne The Rock Johnson was at the same time, I think he's actually, you know,
he's edging him.
He's edging him, actually.
I mean, not edging.
Until they both explode.
God, already. Leon Schuster, Jody.
Oh, wow.
Some say a legend.
Yeah.
Others say not so much.
Others say, who come out,
Leon? So I went to go watch Spider-Man's No Way Home.
Yeah.
And I had my popcorn ready and I'm watching trailers and they're showing the, you know, upcoming blockbusters and all of a sudden.
And it's hard to surprise us with trailers.
It is because it's we've seen it. I mean, most people who have the internet, you know, these things pop up on your YouTube all the time.
It's everywhere.
Wasn't I surprised?
Pleasantly.
Was it pleasantly? When I see a trailer for Mr. Bones 3.
The sequel we didn't know we needed.
You can end that sentence there. The sequel we didn't want. My goodness.
Alfred's back. Leon is back.
Kamala's back.
Mm.
That black scent is back.
Yes. I think he's tried to tone it down.
I don't know. I didn't compare.
I think that there's like, I saw the first one on TV, I think. And I didn't know there was a part two. And now there's a part three. And I think from what I remember in part one, what that accent sounded like.
Yeah.
I think he's toned it down a bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to go back and check.
For those who don't remember, there was a whole discussion, was it last year sometime?
Yeah.
Around,
I think it was pretty recent. Yeah.
Yeah, around Leon's legacy.
When they removed his stuff from
Multi-Choice.
I think so. They removed it from Showmax or something.
Yeah.
The old stuff.
Yeah, because discussion started around, you know, was him doing blackface a good thing? Yeah. Was him doing the black sense a good thing? Were we fine with it then, but we shouldn't be okay with it now? I think we all feel like that.
Yeah, I mean, just portraying people of color in a way that where they are seen as stupid or dumb. I mean, there's a long history of that in media.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, we made this comment. We were featured on Kids Eat Toast sometimes.
Yes. Check it out, YouTube and Insta.
Just Google the Kids Eat Toast. Mm. I mean, not in a creepy way. Just Kids Eat Toast sometimes. That's the show. I still didn't ask you. I forgot to fucking ask him how he came by. If it was just a song or was it? Did he mention
He was
it?
Eating toast in bed. That used to be his gimmick for every episode. But probably from the song.
Classic Sam. Yeah. What a dickhead. No, I'm kidding. I love you, Sam. What was I saying? Oh, like in the past, when you're younger, you don't know any better.
Mm.
And looking back, I had a lot of fun with those movies back in the day.
Those movies were, like we just spoke about December, those movies were an integral part of every holiday season. You know, it's Leon's movies on repeat, You Must Be Joking 1 and 2, then all that other shit that he made afterwards. We watched it. We love those things.
That also made me realize that Leon Schuster should not do scripted.
No, script and Leon do not go together like a horse and carriage.
Not a damn. Looking back, you're right. That was a big part of our fucking, what would you call it? It's like in our country, he was seen as the guy. He's still the number one box office.
He kills at the box office, which is why he's going back to the well.
But this is my thing. So these things were pointed out, like you said, and even he admitted that
some problematic.
It was problematic for him to be in that makeup. It was problematic for him to use those accents and you know, portray people in this light. And then it still comes out. Mr. Bones still comes out.
And I guess Leon's defense is going to be something along the lines of he's not playing any other characters in this. He's only doing Bones. It seems like
bones
the accent,
is still rough.
I know, but it seems like the accent is also, as I said, being neutralized a little bit. So maybe he's trying to embrace a new persona, but there's still the history of issues with the movie itself, the franchise itself, and his older things. So has he actually learned his lesson?
I don't know. I'm glad Shorty's working.
Yeah, Shorty needs only on that.
I'm glad he's working.
Either that or he must go work for Clientele Live with this one too.
Yeah, his mommy and him made a legacy with that type of shit.
They are now part of South African life.
Fucking hell, they have shares for sure. But at what cost, man? I'm glad he's working, but at what cost? Let's look at it just from a movie perspective. It looks horrible.
Yes, it doesn't look good.
Not at all.
I don't know who's funding this. And you know what makes it particularly bad? I think in the past, Leon could get away with not necessarily great quality production, but it was still almost the pinnacle of South African production at the time. Whereas now,
it's sad as shit.
Yeah. But now we've got things like MultiChoice pumping money into the South African film industry. Netflix pumping money into series and movies. So if you are now competing with these people who are doing high quality, very high spec productions, and yours still looks the same.
Mr. Bones
looks worse than Mr. Bones one.
Yes, it does.
It looks much worse than that.
I kind of think that it's less. It's a smaller budget.
I think so. I think that's guaranteed, actually, that it's a smaller budget.
Nah, fuck, man. He must just retire now.
Leon is going to spoil all our memories of him. He's not going to be happy until he's destroyed all of them.
I would love to talk to the man and the old woman on the street and after they've seen this film and actually get like the actual opinion. Who's going to pay for what? Who's going to pay to watch this?
We say that, but Leon has got an audience. That man has a built-in audience. The same people who probably made Mr. Bones 2 successful, I'm assuming it was, are going to make this successful.
Yeah.
So say what we want about us. He's probably still gonna make money.
If we can fool our wives into marrying us, he can make money at the box office.
Listen to your brother.
No, fuck it. Don't go watch this movie. This movie's gonna be cuck. Just Sweden.
This is a mouthful.
Motherfucker. Listen, we're not gonna get into the entire thing.
Sure.
We'll talk about some highlights. You can drive this bus, but Joss Whedon is responsible for some of the greatest, like, not only movies, but like TV shows as well. I mean,
Ever.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
Firefly,
the movie was Serenity, Avengers 1, which was at the time the greatest superhero movie ever.
Unquestionably, when it came out, like the most ambitious, in terms of delivering on hype.
Yeah.
I don't know if a movie has ever achieved what Avengers achieved in terms of just somehow surpassing all our expectations,
100%.
Despite all our expectations. Mm. So Joss Whedon had a very special place in a lot of movie fans' hearts, in a lot of particularly more feminist movie fans as well, because he portrayed strong female characters in his TV series and in the movies that he's done in the past.
Yeah, now we know that's all bullshit.
Quite.
So, all of this started when Ray Fisher came out and said, after he had worked with Joss Whedon for the reshoot of the Snyder Cut, Ray Fisher came out and said, look, this guy's a fucking terrible person.
Yeah. And some of the accusations that specifically Ray Fisher leveled against him, and there were lots of others that came out afterwards. But Ray Fisher spoke about Joss Whedon ostracizing him, being abusive on set, lightening his skin tone in certain shots, cutting huge amounts of his screen time, which we know was true, obviously, because of the Snyder Cut
that
came out afterwards. He was like at the forefront of this. Joss Whedon is actually not what people think he is.
Yeah.
Then we had Charisma Carpenter coming out.
Yes.
Then we had other people on Buffy.
There were terrible accusations, especially from Charisma Carpenter, moving into the Me Too movement type shit.
Michelle Trachtenberg as well spoke about how Joss Whedon wasn't allowed to be alone with her in any room, and she was 15 or 14 years old at the time Buffy was being filmed. Gal Gadot came out afterwards and said that her career was threatened by Joss Whedon. He made fun of her for being stupid, made fun of her accent. Yeah, the list
kind of... When he should have been making fun of the fact that she's a bad actress.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, that's the only thing that hasn't he made it.
So the, I mean, we're not covering all the accusations, but these, no, the ones we've mentioned are,
we just giving you some
very
context,
serious,
yeah,
accusations. At the time, Joss, we didn't say nothing.
Nothing. I mean, look,
literally,
that is PR 101.
Yeah, you just let it blow.
You
over.
Need to disappear.
Yeah.
For a while.
You kind of let this bubble and explode, and then.
Yeah.
You just...
Do you have a cabin somewhere? Maybe go there.
In the woods?
Yeah. Because he wrote that.
He produced it.
Yeah, yeah, okay. With no internet, maybe go there for a few months, hang
just
out.
Just chill.
And I thought he was going to be gone for
I
a little
we
bit
were
longer.
Done, yeah. Yeah. I thought we were done with him for at least another 5 or so years.
Yeah.
Apparently not. So it's a publication in New York that did an interview with Joss Whedon. And the title of the article is The Undoing of Joss Whedon. But he took the time to actually go, he sat down with them and responded to various accusations that were leveled against him. So Ray Fisher is apparently a bad, bad actor in both senses,
yes,
of the word, which, yes, I don't quite understand.
So from my take and based on reports on it, he means like bad actor on film and when they're not filming. So he's not very collaborative or he's hard to work with.
I see.
That's what he means.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Gal Gadot misunderstood him.
Well, he was basically saying she can't speak English properly.
Yes, so she yeah, didn't understand.
Yeah.
To which her response was, I understood perfectly, yeah, clearly what he said. He also, as a whole, the cast of Justice League was accused of just being really shitty people.
Yeah.
And difficult to work,
yeah,
with. Which I thought was a bold approach because not everyone,
yeah,
came out against him.
He also could refer to his mother as sexy.
Yeah.
Strangely enough, I mean, that's one of the things that stood out for me because
he was
talking about his why he likes strong women and writing strong women and whatever, and his mother was a big inspiration for that, and she's sexy and
of course
I'm like, this is gross.
Freud,
but it's all this is the thing, I don't know why you would agree to something like this. But again, it speaks to his
ego.
Yeah.
It's an ego thing. And I mean, this interview, I don't know if he had any type of like right of refusal, if he disagreed with what was being printed.
But if he's driven
this
by ego,
he doesn't portray him in a positive light at
he
all.
He wouldn't care about that.
Like, at all.
It's ridiculous.
I don't...
And when he's talking about the film also and his choices and why he's like... He's acting like we didn't see the Snyder Cut.
Yeah.
As much as I do not like that film and what it stands for, it is a way better film than what,
yeah,
he did,
he
made.
We in our reviews, we confirmed it's too long, but it's better.
But he's acting like we didn't watch that. Like Ray Fisher's character is in the center
of that movie.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, because he said that Ray Fisher, apparently, before he made the decision to make the cuts, they did test screenings of Zack Snyder's Justice League, obviously, now. And it was universally accepted that Cyborg's story was the least popular and the one that the audiences disliked the most.
Yeah, but I mean, where were they testing this? In, like, fucking Texas?
But also, it's like, show us those results, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It's easy for you to say those
stats.
Cuck now.
He not only cut Ray Fisher, but he cut all POC characters.
Yes, Iris West.
Yeah,
scene was also cut.
Anyone who was a person of color, he cut their role significantly.
Or completely.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, what's going on there?
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
A little problematic, isn't it? I honestly don't know why he agreed to do this. I don't know why he would go on and give the answers that he gave. And I don't know why he then agreed to it being published,
yeah,
with the answers that he gave, because none of this vindicates him in any way.
No way whatsoever.
In any way, on any of the accusations.
And where was his PR person?
I don't think he's got one anymore. Did you see the picture on the article?
No, where?
He's got a little stud that's like...
Oh.
That is just like on the ear.
Oh,
I
cool.
guess that's his liberal stud.
Yes.
Just to show that, you know,
yeah,
I'm open-minded.
Aren't we getting piercings, you and I?
Yeah. Belly ring.
Oh, belly ring. Are we getting one of those?
Mm.
Oh, yo, Abby's face. Just like,
she's giving us producer face.
Yeah. Controversy.
Ooh.
We'll figure it out. Doesn't have to be belly, but we'll figure it out. Joss Whedon is fucking stupid, and I hope he doesn't work again, to be honest.
I hope he burns in hell.
Yeah.
Fuck that. We're not supporting any other things he does.
Sec. Black Panther 2. Wakanda forever. This movie has been delayed. There's been some issues.
So many issues.
I mean, the biggest issue is that Chadwick Boseman passed away.
Not the smallest of challenges to deal with when your most definitive lead actor in this movie, your title character passes away. It's like, yeah, just that one small thing.
Yeah, that's a tiny hiccup. But then we started getting reports about Letitia Wright. She plays Shuri in the movie. And yes. They were delayed because of obviously COVID-19. And then she is very strongly anti-vax.
Yes.
To the point where she's trying to influence
her co-stars. She shares shit. Yeah. Her views are so strong that she's like, you guys need to be reading the shit reading.
Sheeple.
And do what I do.
And it's starting to become disruptive.
Quite.
But they do not have mandates on this form.
What do you mean? Oh, so like, yes, it was. So, it's the last one, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
That started filming before Disney instituted
the mandate. So there's no vaccine mandates on the cast and crew on this form.
That's right.
But you would think that you care enough about your cast and crew to actually just go through with it and be like, yeah, let me just carry on working.
Exactly. But not
Letitia.
No.
So there have been rumors that they want to recast her. And so now, especially with the shoot being delayed, people are now obviously being like, they're going to get rid of her.
And it is COVID delays. The latest ones are now COVID-related delays. And people are getting upset because they're like, it's a bloody Letitia, man.
Bloody Letitia, man.
Letitia that doesn't want to get back.
Yarr, Saivaldi. But there are also reports that M'Baku's role,
Winston Duke,
they are increasing his role in the film.
Yeah, he's getting a pay increase and he's getting a lot more screen time.
Yeah.
So I don't think they position him as like a new lead. Because the character
I wouldn't want him to be the new Black Panther.
I mean, he is actually a antagonist for Black Panther in the comics. Yeah. And I think that he embodies that character very well.
For
sure. So I don't want him to
Because
over.
Then now, if you to speak about replacing, you could either recast, right? Or you could Shuri, which was a heavy favorite to all this.
Yes.
Yeah, she was a heavy favorite to take up the mantle. And now people are speculating that he is going to take up. But I hope it's not him.
I don't think it makes sense story-wise, but on the recasting point, I think that Marvel is testing the waters there. Because Chadwick's brother came out recently. Yes. Badwick. He's older.
Oh, I see.
And Badwick is the oldest. So Badwick Boseman came out and he said that Chadwick would have wanted Marvel to replace him in this movie. To not try and like write it out or explain it away.
And why didn't you say so?
I think this is Marvel testing the waters where they're like,
oh, I see.
Hey man, do you want to just go do this interview for us and see, let's see what the public reaction is to that statement and take it from there. And recast Black Panther has been trending on Twitter lately.
Yeah. And people are obviously putting up their
who should do it.
Yeah, who's in the lead at the moment?
To be honest, I haven't read that to see who the lead is.
Unprofessional.
You know,
it's funny.
This far.
It's funny. No, but I always say you unprofessional, but I am also part of the show and I do zero research.
But I think the most popular thing that people want to happen is that they incorporate the multiverse things that's going to happen in Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
And they then put in Michael B. Jordan as a multiverse version of himself, which I think is not the way to go.
No, I don't. He had his, it was perfect.
His character arc, as it was perfect.
It was fine.
It's like trying to bring back Iron Man.
Loki thing again.
Yes. Yeah. It's, you're going to undo all that good work that you've done, and I don't think they should do it. I think they need to find
a different Black Panther.
Yeah, they need to find a different Black Panther.
Maybe John Carney's son. In like a multi, like he's, you know, descendant of.
Yes.
That would be cool.
Let's write it.
Let's get Marvel on the phone.
They are on our speed dial.
I know. We got all these cool ideas, but they pay us nothing.
They are our family and friends on Instagram. Our close friends group. So.
Send me.
Where's your phone?
Unprofessional.
Sorry.
That's what you are. My bad. I'm putting my phone on silent. Oh, sorry, man. It's Uber Eats telling me, yay, you're fit now, come and order food. Encanto. You loved this film.
I did.
To the point where you love the music and everything.
The music was not as great as some of the others, but I really like the story, and the representation stuff is very important.
Oh yeah, that is important.
Disney's finally.
Okay, let's be real. The only reason they are doing this is for money. It's nice to see representation, but they figured out that there is a market that they haven't tapped into.
Yes.
And they're now tapping into that market. So don't think that these companies are doing it for altruistic reasons whatsoever. They fucking want your money. But as a POC, I really appreciate that they are now highlighting POCs.
Yeah. And there's a video going around about a little boy with curly hair, and he sees the one character in the movie, and he's like, "That's me." And it's, you know, that type of connection that kids of color can finally have with Disney properties, as opposed to just having to see this idealistic version that white people are like, you know, they are the protagonists, the heroes, always, that type of thing, you know?
That being said, they still tend to get some things wrong.
Yes. Some of the people at Disney are just a mite too old to still be there.
So there's a character, Luisa, in Encanto, and she has super strength.
Yes.
And apparently, the animators had to fight tooth and nail to keep her figure or her design muscular.
Yes, because she's drawn as this big, strong woman.
Yeah.
Big shoulders, big back, big arms.
She's got muscles.
Exactly. Because she's strong.
She has, she has to look like she could pick up like houses.
Yes.
Yeah.
If this was a man, and like any male hero character whose thing is strength is going to be drawn as big, out of proportion, and all of that shit.
Yeah.
And there's never any issues. But when it's a woman.
No, she has to be petite. And
we
small
need petite
and pretty and
we
beautiful.
Won't be able to sell a doll if it looks like that.
I fucking cannot believe this cack. But also, I believe this cack because who's in charge there? It's
the Ikes of the world.
Yeah, the Ikes of the world. It's
Ike Perlmutter.
Old white executives to be like. Because essentially it came down to toys.
Yes.
So
which it always comes down to.
Yeah, obviously. Listen to your brasa. All these fucking movies, these Disney movies especially, they're all made to sell toys. That's where the real money is.
That's the only reason they exist.
So they believe that, what's the sister, pretty sister, flower sister?
Isabella.
Yeah. So while they were having this fight, they believed that Isabella was going to be the most popular toy. So in terms of production, they produced shit ton of Isabellas. And they kept Luisa to a minimum. There are shelves full of Isabellas left over and people the demand Luisa. For Luisa has like skyrocketed. So that in itself is to be like, you don't fucking get
that
it.
Is a big middle, double middle finger to the Disney execs.
Like, I would love a Luisa figure, to be honest.
I mean, why would you not want to promote those types of things to your little girls, to your children for that matter? There are different ways that people can be depicted.
100%.
Women do not all just look like fine, petite little...
Women have different... I feel like this is our most liberal episode ever. Women have different body shapes, you fucking
That's
idiot.
That's natural.
God, and we love them all, don't we, Jody?
Exactly. Only if they like our show, though.
Yeah, that's true. If you don't
and
like
Knox
our show.
And Knox is agreeing with us.
Yeah, Knox is... My bro, you're right. You want some water?
You need some Red Bull.
You want to kill my fucking dog?
Just a sippy sip.
Yo, a sip will send him through the roof. That's a shame. We love them all. Unless you don't love the show, then you know what? You know, then I'm super anti-feminist.
Yeah, so fucking Disney, just get to the picture.
Yeah,
now.
Get to the program.
It's time for a review.
Don't look up, Jody. Don't do it.
Don't
you do it.
Don't. All the red caps said, don't look up. Directed by Adam McKay, two low-level astronomers must go on a giant media tour to warn mankind of an approaching comet that will destroy planet Earth. Starring Leo DiCaprio, Jennifer Lawrence.
Take a breath.
Meryl Streep, Jonah Hill, Cate Blanchett, Tyler Perry, Mark Rylance, Timothy Chalamet.
That's all you wrote again.
Who else is in there? I think those are the important ones that I got there.
Yeah, there's some cameos.
There are a few cameos. Yeah, Chris Evans, I think, is a cameo.
Yeah. Adam McKay has this ability to just pull all sorts of people with him.
Yes. I mean, The Big Short was fucking crazy. Vice was insane.
Has he got like dirt on everyone? Or is he just a nice guy? Because there's two ways to do it. You either really
the
nice
J. Edgar Hoover approach.
Or you got dirt on that motherfucker for sure.
Yo, this movie was... It is currently still Netflix's biggest ever movie, right?
Most yes.
It did overtake Red Notice, I think.
Yes, I hope so, because Red Notice was trash.
Yes.
Big trash.
Right.
So I'm glad that something of a bit higher quality has overtaken it. But this movie also had a lot of discussion around it.
There's a lot of sentiment around the message that it has,
which
obviously is a lot of very strong metaphors in this movie. There's also sentiments around, is it actually a good film? Like, despite the very important message that they have in this movie, did they actually do it well?
Yeah, and I mean, that brings up the question to be like, there was a lot of people taking stances of like, if you don't like this movie, you didn't get it and you're a dumbass.
Yes.
And that type of shit really irks me.
It irks me massively.
Yeah, because it's like...
No, I can just not like the movie. I agree with the message in the but I just don't like the movie.
You can agree with the message and you can not like the movie. Yeah. Those are two... They're not mutually excluded. Yeah.
So that's our disclaimer.
100%.
Before we go into it.
But this is satire, like 101.
Yes. And like you said, Adam McKay has now got a... He's got a bit of a reputation for these types of things now.
He's got like a weird niche that he's got.
I think we spoke about this in previous news, but he views himself as a very left, like to the left director.
Yeah.
So he's left leaning. He's very liberal, very open minded in terms of his films, and he attacks the right in terms of the messages that he gives in his movies.
Yeah.
So Adam McKay has kind of carved out this niche now where he attacks important issues that also are kind of, you know, left-leaning and whatnot. So this movie...
Well, I mean, the recession is not necessarily... I feel like that's a bipartisan issue.
It should be. It should be. And that's... that, like, The Big Short was probably my favorite movie of his with this new angle, this new direction. Yes. I mean, we should list these old things, eh?
We should. Because if you have to compare, it is Anchorman. I mean, classic.
Talladega.
Nice. Like Will Ferrell, the frat pack guys.
Yes.
You used to work with those guys a lot.
So, again, this one I think is probably his most political message to date.
Yeah.
I think, unashamedly, this is like the one that he's venting his biggest frustration with politics and... The battle against science, the battle against truth in parentheses as well.
Yeah.
Like, he has taken his stance and, you know, whether you like it or not, that's the story he's telling.
Yeah.
And that's where the division comes in.
Because, yes, like it. Plot-wise, it is that simple. There's a meteor coming. Two scientists notice it. Leonardo DiCaprio plays, which is nice for me, and to play this bumbling, this bumbling scientist who can't really articulate at first, and he's low, like, you know, nerdy and and then Jennifer Lawrence says, "I loved her in this film."
Yeah, she was brilliant. Just the very angry.
Yeah,
she's the voice of reason. Yeah. Like, she's our voice. I feel like in terms of like
even she's even the voice of reason at times for Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yes. Because he can't, he doesn't have the ability to talk.
That's his story arc. But I enjoyed a lot of the cast. I think they do a lot of improv on these films.
I think so, but it's also within very tight confines. Because, you know, all of these scenes are, there's a lot of interconnection, obviously. You know, it's a movie. But more than other films where you can improv and just riff and kind of go with it, you know, anything with Vince Vaughn, for example.
Owen Wilson. Vince Vaughn, my bro.
Yeah, it's important to do it within certain confines, I think. So I think that he does give them some leeway, but I think it's quite tight.
Yeah. I mean, you got quality people in there.
I remember when we first heard about this film and we looked at that cast and we were like, how the hell do you put all of these people together?
I'm telling you, bruh. It's got dirt or something.
It is crazy.
They all come for him, like to work for him, and I don't think he has the budget to pay them all what they're worth.
No, there's no way. Although Netflix money goes a long way.
But plot-wise, yes, it is as ridiculous as it sounds because there's a literal. They have scientific evidence. It's in your face.
Yes,
you look at the graphs. You look at the data. it's coming.
Eventually, when you look up, you can see it.
Yeah, you can see it coming. And you still have people denying that this is going to happen.
Yes.
Your general public, but they'll be controlled by the people in power.
Yes.
Because the people in power want to actually squeeze this for all it's worth.
Make a profit.
Make a profit.
They want to win elections. They want to, like with the media, put the portrayal of media, it's like they just want to milk this for as much of it as it's worth. And promote it in weird ways so they can benefit from
it. It's just highlighting everyone's like gross agenda and how selfish the people of power are.
Which unfortunately, which is obviously part of the message of this film, is the way of the world right now.
Yeah.
We don't really have like unbiased media anymore, especially in the US. Everyone has an agenda.
Oh, where?
The news should really just exist to tell you is what happened.
Yep.
That's it. You don't have
But you always have to fucking track who owns whatever paper or channel or TV show you're
watching.
Because
I think it's like fairly early on when Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence's characters discover this comet. They figure out it's coming to Earth. Mm-hmm. They figure out they've got like, 3 months before it comes to Earth?
Yeah.
And they frantically are now going to try and... They need to tell people so that something can be done. And as part of the awareness campaign, they then end up going on this talk show. And Cate Blanchett and Tyler Perry are like pretty incredible as the host of this.
I mean, like, I did not know it was her at first.
It took me... half an hour. And Jenna was like, how did you not know that that's Cate Blanchett?
No
I'm like,
way.
I didn't know
they're
what it
like
was.
Doll. She had prosthetics and like teeth.
It was
crazy. Yeah. She was meant to, but she was made to emulate those Fox News.
The blonde
women.
Yeah. The like.
There's a few blonde women.
No, man, but it's the like the movie that they had recently.
Yeah.
Was that Blonde Ambition or something? Charlize and
Blonde Ambition.
It was Blonde something.
No, you're thinking of Atomic Blonde.
Maybe.
You definitely are. That movie had
Legally
nothing
blonde.
To do with Blonde. No.
But yes, you know, like
Fox
Fox's
News.
Whole thing about blonde attractive, you are going on air.
Yeah.
That whole thing, she is that, basically.
Yeah, she's 100% that. And I mean, just him getting caught up in the sauce.
Yeah.
With her and
who
the
could
media
resist.
And like building his ego. That's what they do.
Because Leonardo DiCaprio then becomes the scientist you can trust.
Yes.
a la
Anthony Fauci.
Yes. He just eats it up.
Ah, man. Sexiest man of 2020. 2020 was it? Mm. Anyway. Yeah. So people not enjoying the film because
of the political
with the
messages. Yes.
That is where I have a problem with you.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Or your opinion.
Yeah.
If you watch that film and it made you angry because, I mean...
You disagree with the politics.
Yeah, or you that old Trump scene, the red cap shit like resonated with you, then I feel like...
Or you feel like you are being attacked.
Yeah, you being made fun of or personally attacked. Then I feel like, okay, you didn't get the movie or the movie is... basically pointing a finger at you. But if you thought that it was a bad film, that's a different story.
Exactly. What did you think of the metaphors? What did you think the asteroid or the comet represented in this movie?
Climate change. It could be an old number of things, to be
yes.
fair. Like, it can be climate change. It can be vaccination.
COVID and vaccination.
The COVID situation. It can be fucking... fracking, I don't know. Like, you can pick one.
Yeah, I think that I read climate change was kind of the one they were pushing for.
Yeah.
Purely because that's the one where the dispute between science and opinion of people who have no scientific knowledge is like the
And it's also like it's science that you can... Because the issue with science, my issue with why science is always like gets a bad rap is because they don't make it fully accessible to the public. Mm. So the language that they use in the reports and the papers and the reporting of science...
is unnecessarily verbose.
Exactly. Ironically, you're using...
Verbose,
but it is, and the layman doesn't want to fucking read that and then come off stupid and like not understand that shit. So make
it
more accessible for one. But the other thing is, you can see it. You can see the effects of climate change.
Yes.
You can literally see it. You compare the ice caps to where they were to where they are now, and then you still have people. Oh, it's still snowing. Yeah. Global warming.
Winter's cold.
What is that?
It's raining.
Global warming. Branding is an issue also because it's global warming. It's
makes people think it's just warmer.
They try to pivot to climate change, but it's not enough.
Too late.
I'm
also
fucking ranting now. Yeah.
No, it's too late.
What did you think it was?
I thought they were going for climate change, but also the COVID message was very pertinent because of, particularly in a place like America where, you know, the anti-vax and anti-mask campaigns are very much drawn along political lines.
Oh, yeah.
Like in South Africa, politics isn't really a factor for us here. It's, again, just about people's
perceived
fight for freedoms and those types of things.
That two-party system doesn't help them.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, we're here. We have way more parties.
Exactly.
And we have a whole history that they don't have. It's very different.
But it's harder to politicize things here than it is in America, I think, because in America...
But they try. They try.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, comparing vaccine mandates to apartheid, that's one thing.
Oh. We don't walk that side anymore. We just stopped.
Seriously?
Yeah, I went there once past the pools and the guy was pulling off other people's masks, telling them, no, take your mask off. And I was like, nope.
What the fuck?
I don't want to moor people in front of my child.
No, of course.
You know what I mean? Jaden was with us. And I'm like,
yeah,
I don't want to have to get like aggressive with someone
my
child.
But you will, though.
If
you
came close to me,
I mean,
it's going to knock him the fuck
out. If push comes to shove.
Yes.
And Jody's got guns, no?
I'm heavy. They've seen the video.
You'll go juggernaut. You'll go juggernaut. But yeah, I mean, those people, they're fucking dumbasses. Yeah. And I feel like those are the ones that didn't get this movie.
Don't Look Up.
No, I brought it back to Don't Look Up.
You did.
Working on myself this year.
So that's the metaphors that we think were the most strongly represented. I think the other interesting thing is the science discussion because scientists fucking love this movie.
They really do. Because they always feel misunderstood.
Exactly. They are like, this movie speaks to our soul. This is us writing articles, explaining, doing the research. Mm. Giving evidence to support what we are saying.
Yeah.
And people are still saying, nah, do my own research on Facebook.
Do my own research.
I got a WhatsApp forward from
It said forwarded many times, so you know it must be
true. Reliable.
Yeah,
you won't send things on if it's false.
So let's talk about this quickly before we do the bravos and our verdict. Mm. What did you think of it as a film?
I didn't like it as much as particularly The Big Short. The Big Short's one of my favorite movies. And this one I felt a bit let down. I think that, in my opinion, I felt as though we got too caught up in the political messaging of it.
Mm.
And the pacing of the movie is off.
Yeah,
it's
I also had an issue
way too long. I feel like he could have used his characters a bit better. Like, he has an amazing cast.
Yeah.
But they are all kind of, well, particularly the baddies in this movie are playing like extreme caricatures or stereotypes or, you know, just like...
Did you think that was too far? Did they push it too far in terms of the extreme? But I think also
That's his choice.
Yeah,
it's his story choice. Yeah. I just didn't like it. We didn't mention Mark Rylance as the billionaire genius. Is he like?
I know. Because
an amalgamation of Elon Musk and who...
Trying to figure that out, but none of them are that soft-spoken.
Or that weird.
Yeah.
Like, that weird.
He was doing this weird high-pitched thing.
Yeah.
We're going to mine it for...
It's quick. What do the kids say? What do the kids
but
say?
But it was a weird choice. But it actually made his threats that much more menacing.
Yeah. He is brilliant. Yeah, Mark Rylance as that character, whatever that character is amazing.
Yeah,
like,
that just cuck, man.
But yeah, it's you feel Adam McKay's strong, intense feelings about the political situation. I feel like he almost got too caught up in that this time around.
100%. I also enjoyed this film, but I didn't love it.
Yes.
I agree with you. The pacing was the issue. Definitely the runtime was way too long. They could have chopped a lot of stuff out.
Really? So much.
Just be more economical with your storytelling. and then, I know, us talking. Remember, guys.
Damn it, Adam.
We just guys that talk about fucking movies.
No one cares.
Take everything we say with a pinch of salt because no one gives a fuck about this.
No one cares.
But, I 100% agree with you. I thought the message was better than the actual movie.
Yes. We need to explain those viewpoints and those challenges in a way that people can connect with.
Fuck, man. Make science more accessible. For fuck's sake.
Bill Nye the Science Guy. That's all they have to do. Get Bill back. Okay, we're going into our
Bravues.
Okay, I've got the first one. Yeah.
This is our new segment where we try and get you to send in a voice note of your opinion on the film, because we actually love. Jody and I do get tired of each other sometimes.
Yeah.
And we want to hear your voice.
Yeah. We need some more voices on the show.
We need some voices.
Also, people do slide into our DMs actually fairly often.
Yeah, but it's a lot of dick pics. Exactly. So guys, like, ease up on the dick pics. We want more opinions.
You can't play dick pic on a mic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't play as well.
No, we want opinions, not a penis.
Mm, I've been playing penis pics through this whole show and you can't hear anything.
Also, guys out there, listen to your brasa. Only send a dick pic if they ask for it.
Solicited.
Yeah, as a pliv. Stop, don't just whack it out there the whole time.
Pardon the pun. Okay, here's our first bravo.
I don't know if this kind of language is allowed, but hell fucking no. That was the worst movie I have seen for the year, and I thought, hey, Meryl Streep, woohoo, one of my faves. But hell no. What a load of garbage. Leonardo DiCaprio, Meryl Streep, Jennifer Lawrence, hype cast, no hype at all.
Thank you, Mom of One.
Mom of Luca One.
That's Mom of One _ Luca.
Mom of One Luca. Yeah, it sounds like you are anti-global warming.
Yes, I think that she just didn't get it.
No, we're just fucking with you. Yeah, you can have your opinion. I get it. But that's the thing. This movie's not very easy to watch necessarily.
It's not
that
accessible.
Yeah, yes. It's not accessible.
It's not. And I think for me, it's the over-politicization.
But also, like, the tonal shifts of the extreme caricatures of, you know, to be like, this is stupid. Why are these people so stupid? I can see why people would also be, you know.
And she mentions, like, Meryl Streep, who is playing, like, the Trumpiest Trump president that you have ever seen. Like, ever.
Our next bravo.
Yeah.
Who, me?
Oh, no, it's fine. I'll get it. I got it.
I thought you had all of them.
I do have it, yeah. Are you ready?
Ready, Kapedi.
Hello, hi there, Bosco Plasser. This is Abigail, aka Abby, also known as the producer of the show. My gripe with Don't Look Up is that it was never answered why that guy made them pay for the water and the sweeties, man. Like, that was so unfair. The girl kept asking and nobody answered it. Okay, bye.
Look, I mean, we'll talk about that in spoilers.
Yes.
But overall, this movie was pretty funny.
It has a lot of funny moments. Yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio as the everyman. Jennifer Lawrence as very angry person who's like, why the fuck can people not just like understand what's going on here?
A lot of it is funny. Joni Hill also, because he was deaf for sure. I think there's a big reoccurring moment where he's always antagonizing Jennifer Lawrence and just digging at her all the time.
Constantly. I think that was just decided early on and they just went with
that was really, really funny.
Yeah.
Because he was supposed to be Donald Jr.
Yes, he's DJ TJ. Either that or he's Eric.
No one wants to be Eric. Oh my God, that guy looks like a...
My upper lip doesn't go over my teeth.
Yeah, I have that problem.
Me too. Didn't you see the picture?
Do we have any more for Donald?
No, that's all of our bravos for
that's
for
all. Yeah, we told you. Look, go check our Instagram. If you don't slide into our DMs after that video...
I don't know what will get them in there.
Nah, then there's nothing we can do.
Nope.
Kwai or Nai?
Yo, I think it's going to be my least cool Kwai so far. Yeah. I think it's still, like you said, there's funny moments. There's redeeming qualities.
Yeah.
There's lots of redeeming qualities, but it's not as good as his other political inclined films. Yeah. I think so. It's still a Kwai, but I'm also disappointed.
I'm gonna agree with you there. I think also on the lower rung of the Kwai, I do think people do need to watch it, but he just could have handled it a bit better.
He could have done, and so much potential, but
so much potential
mistakes along the way. Adam, big fan of the show.
Yeah,
come on, man.
So let's go spoilers. Everyone dies.
Everyone. Even those who survive,
even those
die.
Who survive, die. except Jonah Hill somehow.
Somehow. Yeah. I don't know how. Like they say, God protects the drunks and the stupidest fucks.
That is 100% true. I mean, it's always the drunkest motherfucker.
Oh, and the
that
kids.
Walks away from a traffic accident unscathed.
Totally fine.
But I kept wondering, like, are they going to do it? Are they going to do it? Is it going to destroy the world? And they do.
They deep impact that shit.
Yeah,
that deep comet.
Oh, Muzo. But the plan was ridiculous. First of all, they didn't have Bruce Willis.
No.
So
they tried to Armageddon that shit, and then they changed their mind.
Yeah, they were gonna do something. Like, there was drones that were going to drill in and blow it apart bit by bit. And then they like the guy was like, no, we can make money.
Well, yeah. So I think the drone plan is what is implemented in the end. But they were going to do like the big explosion thing earlier. So initially, where Leonardo DiCaprio kept appearing on TV and telling people it's going to be fine, they had the plan where they're going to send the rockets up. Mm. Then they're going to blow this thing up and they'll be totally okay.
Yeah.
Armageddon.
Yeah.
Then Mark Rylance sends a please call me to Meryl Streep while they are like in the bloody control room. And he's like, no, actually, we're not going to do that now.
Yeah, I'm not
and
do
and poor abort. Ron Perlman has to come back down.
that's
an amazing character.
Yeah,
that
was. Like, he was, they positioned him to be like the hero or the face of the mission.
Yeah.
But he's like heavily racist.
Right? He just hates everything.
Yeah, he hates everything.
People of other races. He hates fat kids. Probably women as well, I think.
But yeah, and that is true. I mean, corporations, they do
make those
control
decisions.
Yeah, they control the government, essentially.
Exactly.
Infuriating to watch because it's just like...
And then they add that other layer, right, where they now decide on the drones because they're going to break it into smaller pieces and then create work for people.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it starts being a conversation around, we believe in that plan because it creates work for Americans.
Yep. Yeah, so we can pay you like less than minimum wage again. More Americans, more money, more... I couldn't... The plot is ridiculous enough. I mean, it is believable. It's ridiculous, but believable. And I just thought, there are people like this, Jody.
They are. In power. In positions of power.
There are people like this. Zuckerberg, the fuck. Hey, Zuckerberg was also in that amalgam.
Yes, he was definitely part of...
It's the big guys. It's Bezos, Zuckerberg.
Musk.
Musk.
Bill Gates.
Not so much. I mean, Bill Gates has a cleaner reputation.
Yeah.
But yes, that was quite. And then the biggest question is, why did he charge them for those snacks?
It's not explained.
I know it's not explained. I'm asking you.
I think the message that's been given there is that no matter how powerful, because that guy's like a...
He's like a four-star general.
It's like the top level general.
Okay, if you're listening past spoilers and you haven't fucking watched it, I don't know why you're doing this. But anyway, if you are... They go to the White House to go and debrief the president. Right?
Yes,
they
it's
go
their
to
first
explain,
meeting.
Exactly. And they're there to explain exactly what's happening. The asteroid is coming. So a four-star general asks them if they want any refreshments, like water, soda or chips and whatever.
Yeah.
So they say yes. And he brings it back to them and he's like, oh, it's like $20.
These things are so expensive.
Yeah, these things are so expensive. It's like $20. And he's like, oh, do you have change? And
everyone gives him money.
They end up paying for the stuff.
Yes.
And then he walks away. And then eventually they don't meet the president. And then Jennifer Lawrence goes to the kitchen to go and get another water.
Yes.
And she tells the person sitting there, I'll pay for this. Where did she say? I thought it was a vending machine or something.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, all the snacks are free. And she's like, what? And they're like, yeah, all the snacks are free. And she goes back and she's like, this fucking guy charged us for the snacks, but they're actually free. Why would he do that? And the best part was her coming back to that.
With Timothy Chalamet on
the
car.
Running
like
joke.
Just constantly.
Yeah.
Whoever she talks to.
Why would he
to
charge us for the snack? Anyone she comes into contact with, she's like, explains the situation and be like, why would he charge us for the snack?
Look,
it's never on.
It's human nature, right? If someone does something that, like, just... I mean, what? It's just like being a freak for no reason. Like, that guy is just greedy.
I was like researching it and they were like, oh, it highlights the fact that like no matter how small something is, you always have to pay for it in the current system.
I interpreted it as no matter how successful or how big a greedy person becomes, they will always be greedy.
Yeah.
And will always take from the little man what they can.
Yes.
You know, along with the other political messages yeah. that were given.
It was one of the best running jokes ever.
It really was. Just because it's the most, like, whoever she talks to.
Yeah.
And she ends up working at the supermarket.
Yeah.
She's like, she starts dating Timothy Chalamet's character randomly a few hours before the comet comes, and she just tells everyone the same thing, like, why would he charge us for
why would he charge us? Fucking hell, I love that. I love that.
And she never gets to confront him.
No, she, because you never see that character again, or they never come into contact again. I liked at the end when the drone started failing, and then he's just like, okay, I'm just going to go check on something.
Yeah.
And then he fucks off.
And then Meryl Streep was like, oh, I need to check on something as well.
And then she leaves us. She just leaves Jonah Hill there.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what Trump would do.
Totally.
With Donald
DJ
Jr.
DJ would just be hanging out there.
Trump would fucking choy, bro.
I think he has done shit like that
definitely.
Before.
Definitely.
But
he doesn't like any of his children except for Ivanka.
Yeah, and that's a little too much.
Yeah, he wants to fuck his daughter.
Just a little too much.
Anyway. And then the billionaire ship that just goes to another planet.
And remember they have the other, I don't know if it's not the running joke, but the algorithm thing. The algorithm that determines, so this billionaire, we didn't even say what he does, but he owns, it's like a social media /tech/phone company. Yeah.
So it's kind of modeled on like Tim Apple.
Yes, yes.
His name isn't Tim Apple, but Trump called him Tim Apple. So
yes.
The actual phones, I didn't even get fucking fun facts for this film. The phones that they use in the film is actually a, you know, red cameras.
Mm.
So they created a phone that failed.
Yes, it failed miserably.
And they were using that phone for the film.
Yeah, I think I saw something.
And I'm like oh, that's ironic.
Yeah. So he owns this company that essentially it's like, you know, any big tech and social media company now, which can dive into your personal life and figure out whatever the hell it wants.
Yeah.
And one of the things that this phone is able to do is through an algorithm, they can determine exactly how you will die. And Meryl Streep's death is like by some random.
Yeah, like a grubble snoond. Yeah, I don't know.
Like it's something that doesn't exist.
She asks, what is that? And he's like, I don't know. But in the end,
that's another part we need to explain.
Yeah.
Well, we need to explain that bit. So the plan obviously fails to use drones to blow up the thing and to mine it essentially for like metals and shit. And all rich people have been given an out, which is that they can buy a ticket to a spaceship that's going to leave Earth.
Sound familiar?
Yes. Only the super rich get on there. And they land on this other planet after being in stasis for however long. I can't even remember the gap. But when they get to this planet, the creatures on this planet are not friendly.
No.
They are super hostile.
Yeah, and they eat Meryl Streep.
Right off the bat. They go straight for the street.
And that turns out to be the grubble snoot.
Yeah, whatever the animal's name is.
I can't remember that name. Which was funny. I mean, I like the fact that, we know so much about you that we can predict when you're going to die.
Exactly. My death is going to be probably heart problems, you know.
No, we're doing the suicide pod in Switzerland.
Oh yeah. Mm.
Looking forward to that.
2022.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know if there's much more to say about this film.
This movie isn't actually like one that has massive spoilers.
No.
Other than the fact that the comet actually hits and everyone on Earth dies except for Jonah Hill and those who
did you up. Based on the quality of the film, did you think it deserved all the hubbub?
No, but I mean, I think that we've seen it now with the most watched movies on Netflix.
Yeah,
it's not the quality.
It's not the best movies on Netflix.
It's really not. That should be the tagline. It's not the best movie, but you'll watch it. So quality.
No, look, we're trying to get sponsored by Netflix.
Through that,
we love your stuff, Netflix.
Yeah, all of it.
Yeah, everything.
We love this movie. We said it is quiet.
But yeah, you're right, man. Fucking hell, I'm just worried about the future of this fucking planet.
Very worried. I mean,
You were the kid, you'd be more worried than me.
That's true. But I mean, he's on his own after I'm gone, man.
That's true. That's true.
Just needs to, I mean, I need to make him strong enough.
That's
you
true.
Know?
Try and teach him how to survive like a nuclear winter.
No, I'm going for steroids.
Okay.
Just bustle him up.
He needs to learn to hunt also, I feel.
Well, goes with the steroids.
Foraging, yeah, yeah, 100%. So that's that, and butter is fat.
Butter is so nice.
Butter is
I
so
put
nice.
It in twice.
Are there any shout-outs?
Yo, we did actually get new reviews, but we didn't write them down.
We didn't? I don't see that.
Yeah, it's on the review page. Well, we can shout out the people who sent us the DMs. Abby and Mom of One, Luca. Thank you for sliding into the DMs.
Can't really shout Abby out though.
No, she's not here now.
Yeah, she left to go take a walk.
Because you know, the best time to walk is when she should be producing our show.
Yeah. Fucking hell. I mean, it's not like, I can't.
But shout out to everyone.
We're looking for a new producer, by the way.
Yeah. Shout out to everyone who's been like commenting on the stuff. And we just played a video there. Just who's been commenting and engaging and liking and sharing. Keep doing that shit, guys. We need the shit.
For any reason, you're not already finding us anywhere. If they wanted to find us, how would they find us?
Find us on Instagram, Bicycle Browser Podcast. Same on TikTok. And we need you to slide into the DMs. Yeah. Slide so far into the DMs. Put a bitchy Vaseline on your elbows, bitchy Vaseline on your knees, and you just slide.
I would use a water-based lubricant if I were you.
Yeah, it washes off easier.
True. And okay, if you do have to send a dick pic, we do take those too.
We take it, we play it, you know.
Yeah. But that's going on a wall of hard-ons.
Yeah. So don't send us a flaccid.
Where? Jody, stay cool.
I will.
And stay safe as well.
You stay safe, bro.
I will. Right? And stay safe for everyone else.
Safe everyone.
I almost forgot to say that.
About them.
I got lost in Jody's eyes.